It's that time again.
It's very faint.
Yeah.
Turn up your gain. Turn up your gain.
La hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Classes and sessions.
Little better, you still need to turn it up.
More. Now.
More.
Now.
A little better. A little more.
Now.
Good.
Okay.
Tell them. Hey, switch to camera, the other camera.
Apply what
and
you
then
learn,
switch
and
to
bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man. It's saying what I say.
Tell him to put on YouTube. So we can watch the feed. And make sure you need it, Rafael.
Tiempo para Dios, hace una cita, escritura
dinamita,
morenos
hispanos
y salita. Oye, cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour.
Go back.
Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, it's power hour right there. Stop it real quick. Yes, there you go. Thank you.
Tune in to your history, you know it ain't no mystery. Power hour, the 11 hour. You know it ain't no mystery, 11 hour, power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. Bro, I love the new song that the brothers did for the show, man. I still can't get it. It's still new to me because it's only been a few weeks.
I think it's fine.
Bro, that thing is so dope. Thing is so dope. I know. Officer Ravine hears us, and he probably starts crying.
Yeah.
Bro, he had the foundation song for us when nobody had a song for us.
He had it on for, like, a year.
More than a year.
Yeah, it's longer than that.
It was in 19.
He had two songs.
He dropped that for us in 19.
Yeah. He had two songs, so he can't complain.
Right. I'm just messing with him. I don't even know if he's watching.
He may be.
I asked him, are you a fan of the Power Hour? He stayed quiet. I love you, Officer Romaine. I love you.
I tell you, boy. That's why he got no desire to promote us correctly. He ain't even a fan.
I'm kidding, Officer Romaine. I love you, bro.
Oh, man, I'm going to get him on Saturday. I'm going to get him on Saturday. Yeah. Anyway, Power Hour Plus, we here. I'm Captain Yashua.
Officer Shia.
Uh-huh.
Soldier Tobias.
Soldier Tobias. Hey, we finally put the camera back on Officer Shia. Put the camera back on Officer Shia. So we finally got
out the booth,
out of the producer booth. So first, I'm gonna give you some crap so everybody could put a face.
Well, can I say this first?
Nope. You can say it when I'm done. This is Officer Shia. He is
the tribe of Issachar.
Of the tribe of Issachar. He's the producer of the Power Hour, and.
Alrighty then.
Hey, that's your tribe, bro.
Dang, he is.
That's your tribe. Damn. And every time I'm cursing out the producer for a technical error, this is him. But good brother, the show's come a long way. It doesn't come from a place of negligence. The brother's very passionate about making sure he's increases the quality of what we're doing, the look that we try to have on the show and everything like that. So I appreciate you, bro. But I've been trying to get him into the booth for the longest.
Right.
And
right.
I said, bro, let the brothers that you're training run that thing and get up on the show.
And right. You saw what happened last week. So what I wanted to say is, brothers and sisters, I apologize for what happened last week. We are continuing to grow and practice and train. Pray for us.
That's right.
Pray for us. I'll say I'm not going to throw my team under the bus because we're a good team. We, you know, there's times where there's not enough brothers and sisters or brothers out here. Pray for us. More laborers. Pray for us.
Hey, that's a... Pray for us. That's a high stress position, man. That's a high stress position.
I'm stressed right now, bro, that I'm in here, not out there, bro. I'm like,
they got a face.
And I'm like, yeah, hey, nah. Channel 4, so I can see the stream. And thank you. We'll be all right.
All right. All praises. All right.
It's good to be back.
I still have my scripts from the rest of the talk. I think today I'm gonna be able to get over them, but we're not gonna start with that.
Right.
Okay.
We're not gonna start with that. Bishop Nathaniel posted this earlier today, and I said I gotta do so. This is an excerpt from the Joe Rogan Experience. He be having some interesting guests.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Some interesting topics and stuff like that. I mean, he's obviously grown his thing from like, you know, MMA announcer. Apparently, he's like comedian.
Comedian.
Yeah, I've never seen his stand up. That's how he started.
Okay.
He's a legit MMA.
Wasn't he like
guy
the Fear
too.
Factor yeah. guy?
That's the Fear Factor. That was his big
break
thing.
Right?
Yeah, that got him into like all types of stuff. He's the Fear Factor guy.
But it was comedian first, then Fear Factor.
Yeah, apparently he's like a stand up comedian. I think like that was his thing.
I can't see that.
Yeah. No, I see him better as the like the talk show host.
Yeah.
What he does now.
And then,
yeah, yeah. I always laugh when I see him because when something blows his mind, like he's just sitting there like this and he's like, wow.
Right.
That's so great. And, I mean, he's built his thing like very organically and he gets some A-list guests on there,
mm-hmm,
man.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, so.
Everybody was hyped when, what's his name, came Dave Chappelle. And he only came in for like the last 30, 45 minutes of the show. And
uh-huh.
his shows are like 2-3 hours long.
Right, right. Yeah, man. So, all right. Let's jump on it. So he put this clip. All right, you can get the clip ready. And this particular, and there should be. Oh, I didn't send the article, right? That's because I can't. I think. Hold on. I'm gonna send it. That is my fault. I didn't send the article piece too. I wanted to send the article piece before we read it.
I'm sending it right now.
No. The article from this video. I want to start with the article so I can explain what we're going to look at. All right, I just posted it. If you could pull up the article for me.
And I was doing some research on this guy with the article.
Uh-huh.
This guy's one of them deep guys. He's I don't know. He talks like a lot of brothers talk that we meet in the street. They try to be deep. That sounds like this guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to dissect some of what he was saying and bring it into subjection to the scriptures because, you know, they speak true. Some of them, they think they got it. They think they understand. And some of them touch on it, but they can never get that full understanding. I'll show you why that's the case as well after we watch the clip, right? So this over here. So the first thing that I found interesting in this article is that, you know, Bishop, for as long as I've been in this truth that I started repenting, he would always say, and he always just throws it in there, and he talks about, you know, everything's based on the Bible.
Right.
And I think, obviously, for non-believers, that's something for them. Like, oh, yeah, that's just something he says.
Mm-hmm.
And even for believers, I think some of us, you know, might take it and then not really understand what he's saying.
Right.
So this guy's going to use some big words and some, I think he's like a psychologist, right? But he's also, I believe, a Christian as well. But, you know, like in Christianity type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to use some flashy words and terminology. And I had to watch it twice to make sure that I mean, the first time through, scriptures were popping in my head. So the first thing I want to point out is that this guy, as we read the article, basically is going to talk about how he says the Bible is the foundation for everybody's so-called truth.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how it's the first book.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Right. And how every book after that, right. Mm-hmm. And some people might come out and say, oh, no, but, you know. Hotep, brother, what about the Book of the Dead and all this other stuff? He's talking about the first actual book, like, that made some sense, all right? But, no, it's very interesting the way he speaks about it. Well, we'll see how long it takes me. My aim is to try to finish the talk. I got my script for the talk.
Right.
But stuff's been coming up every week. And like I said, my topics continuity are subject to, you know, things that may come out. You know,
right.
Last week it was an article that the brother posted the day of, too. I wish brothers would post the stuff like days before, because then like the day of, I'm like, let me try to work on this. So, but the main thing is that he's saying is that he basically says every other book and anything else that's ever been written was inspired by the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally says that, quite literally, that's the truth, you know? So what that means is for all the gainsayers out there or would-be gainsayers that hold credence over the Bible with science books and everything else, basically you would have no truth, you would have no books.
Right.
If not for the Bible.
The Bible.
Right. And that's kind of just oversimplifying what he says. But let's read the article a little bit. All right. So it says, famed psychologist Jordan Peterson tells Joe Rogan why the Bible is way more true than just true. And, you know, at first when you hear it, he's like, yeah, what the hell is this guy saying? All right. So some of the watchers said, nah, I'm not going to get through the talk. They can already tell. Like,
I don't
with
think
the
so.
System, that's not gonna happen.
But I didn't want to say nothing.
Some of the viewers, no, we're going to do it. I'm pretty confident we can.
We're going to do it, guys.
No. 7-minute abs. You remember that episode about Mary? He said, what if someone comes out with 6-minute abs? No. Couldn't accept it. If you saw something about Mary, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, famed psychologist Jordan Peterson spoke about the importance of the Bible as the centerpiece of ideas. Mm. Now, right, Bishop Nathaniel says it, and the world and a bunch of our people are like, whatever. It's just
it's just
a black man saying some stuff, and, you know, they'll say it's not accurate or whatever the case may be. But a famed psychologist, right, Esau co-signing says it, and maybe people will jump on board, right?
Right.
But he is saying some good stuff, right? Did we figure out how to monitor the...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We're in. Are you seeing the classroom too?
Yeah.
No. We haven't got access to it.
Oh, bro, they're calling for Blakonda, bro.
Oh gosh.
Bro, someone's just there, just typing crap in the feed. So
we gotta get on that.
Anyway, so famed psychologist Jordan Peterson spoke about the importance of the Bible as the centerpiece of ideas. Meaning, it was because of the Bible being published collectively. Mm-hmm. That everybody got the ideas that they did and their basis of perception and truth. And we're going to really break it down finite, all right? He says, noting it was essentially the first book, right? So he says essentially. I know someone might come out and try to post some history and say it wasn't the first book. And that it served as the basis on which other cultural knowledge was built. Mm. So when Bishop Nathaniel these years has been saying that, I don't think people really fully understand the depth and breadth of what's being prophesied
right.
with those words.
Right.
This particular psychologist is saying it's the basis on which all other cultural knowledge was built.
You got the Quran.
Yep.
You got movies.
Yep. Yeah. All the history books.
Right.
Science books.
Right.
Medical books.
Yeah.
All the different cultural differences.
Right.
Yeah.
And he says it's the basis for all of that. So he says, now in many ways, the first book was the Bible. This is his quote. And we'll watch the video segment. It's short, 4 minutes. For a while, he says, it was the first book for a while. Literally, there was only one book. Mm. Peterson told popular podcast host Joe Rogan. And you read that. If we have time, we'll read it in the Zondervans, where it talks about the predecessor or the most popular predecessor. They were predecessors to the King James translation of the Bible. Where the predecessor of the King James Bible was the Latin Vulgate. And not many people read in Latin at that time. So it was only select priests and church clergy that would read from the Bible. So much like today, most people don't read their Bible anyway, even though it's readily available to them in English, right? Or whatever their native language is. But people used to literally go to these churches and stuff, and it was they couldn't under – even if you gave them – a Bible, most could not understand it.
Right.
They did not know letters. They did not know how to read.
You'd have to learn from them.
You'd have to learn from them.
Okay.
Exclusively. Mm. Because most people would not read Latin. And the Bible, one of the most, again, this, I mean, it goes back. You have the Tyndale version and all of that. If you're interested, get the Zondervan's Compact Bible Dictionary. We've been saying that for years. When you get the Welcome Home package, I know sometimes it gets relegated to the background when we're so into the scriptures, but there's a lot of good scholarly reference in there that helps to I don't want to say validate, but rather kind of as a support piece for the scriptures when you're trying to show some people some stuff.
Yeah, right. And you got to be mindful because there's some stuff in there that is like crappy counsel to try to throw you off like
Yeah,
Adam
and... yeah, right, which is why you have to really use the Bible as the basis, which is interesting because as we're speaking about this,
right,
that'll be the case, right?
Yeah.
And if I do get to go to finish my thing on the talk, you know, we're using another book that's a worldly book, but I have made the point that, you know, it's through the lens of the scriptures. And you know, these other books, unless your foundation is good in the scripture, you're almost better off not even trying to get into these other books.
Right.
You know, I know everybody gets excited and they want the book titles and they want to buy them. And, you know, if you're capable of being able to do that, but be mindful of that. So he says, for a while, literally, there was only one book. Peterson told popular podcast host Joe Rogan, before it was the Bible, it was scrolls, writings on papyrus. And it's true. And when we read about the Bible, and Zondervan is going to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was too many scriptures, so I'm just going to like kind of just say it briefly when we speak about it. But you'll read all through the Bible where they talk about the books of Moses, the book of the history of Judah, the book of the history of the kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about all the they talk about some books that we don't have in the complete Bible that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially a collection of books. And when you read it, it'll tell you this is the book of Moses. This is the book of this. This is, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of them individually is its own book. And they were collected into this collection that we now have as the Holy Bible.
Right.
Right.
So he says, but before that, it was all these different scrolls that were written. Nobody had put it into a book form. That was a modern thing.
Mm.
It was different scrolls,
right?
So he says, the famous author and psychologist noted that most other books were thus birthed from the Bible. Most other books were birthed from the Bible, which he described as a robust collection of text. All of those books, in some sense, emerged out of that underlying book. So he's saying all those other books that were written after came because of the scriptures. And that book itself, the Bible itself, isn't a book. It's a library. It's a collection of books.
Mm.
Right? This is what I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's amazing that in this one book, you have a library at your disposal.
Right.
So he says, it isn't that the Bible is true. So listen to what he's saying. This
oh,
is
wow.
some crazy talk. It's that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. No, I'm telling you, the words, he's going to lose you. When you hear that, you read that, he's going to lose you.
It sounds like confusion to me.
It's not. Bro, I'm going to unconfuse that thing for you.
Okay.
It's good. It sounds like a brother that we're speaking the truth. You see, my brother, the Apocrypha is not of the Bible, but it's in the Bible. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, praise.
Deep brothers, deep dummies.
Right.
Damn.
So you're gonna see. I'm gonna. This paragraph's gonna confuse people. But when we watch the video, I'm gonna unconfuse it with the scriptures. Some definitions,
please. Yeah.
Of course, right. And I'm gonna unconfuse it, right?
I'm already confused.
Okay. So he says, it isn't that the Bible is true. It's that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth. It's actually pretty heavy what he says there when I break it down. All right.
Okay.
Which makes it way more true than just true. So what he's saying is more profound than just the fact that it's a true book.
Okay.
And you have to understand, right, when we talk about the precondition and everything else, you're going to understand.
Okay.
Peterson continued, it's a whole different kind of true.
Mm.
And that's him touching on that spirituality of it.
Right.
I'm going to show you how it's a whole different kind of truth.
That one makes a little more sense, that sentence right there.
Well, that's why you got to read things in context sometimes. If you took just that one quote that he did,
right?
He'd be like, damn.
And then it's the paragraph that's above it that kind of led it to where...
Right, right. Yeah. So he says, it's a whole different kind of truth. I think this is not only literally the case, right?
So,
right. Well, you know, when somebody says like quite literally, that means exactly. We're not talking about similitude or parable.
Right.
He says, factually, I think it can't be any other way. It's the only way we can solve the problem of perception. And I'm gonna talk to you about perception. All right. Let's keep scrolling. We're not gonna watch it yet. It's funny how they use that classic picture, Caesar. He says, you gonna say something?
No, in this Joe Rogan clip, this is an older video because he has newer ones with his new set. So this one is a couple years old.
Well, they're just writing about it today. So.
Oh, wow.
Peterson also revealed he had recently visited the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., which I did not know existed.
Right.
And I now might have to take a trip over there and check it out. I might be visiting the D.C. camp. Check that thing out.
Hey, Kev, they hire stuff like that from us. They know we're not going
to
go over there.
Bro, I would love to go and see how they dissect it because it's done from this type of perspective. And he basically what sparked this whole thing that he says is based off of his visit to this museum. And I think they go into what we'll read in the Zondervans, but they made a whole museum out of it.
Okay.
And how the Bible has survived and been preserved.
Right, right.
So accurately, until these last days. So he says, he went to D.C. and he noted it was a cool thing to walk through and learn about the transformational book's history. As FaithWire previously reported, this isn't the first time of late that Peterson has made headlines for spiritual reasons. We don't need to read that paragraph. That has nothing to do with it, right? Nope, we don't need that. Let me see. Okay. So she's just talking about how the Bible's giving her peace and whatever. So, all right. So let's play the video, please.
You got me curious.
Good. That was my aim.
How many, to spark some
curiosity.
How many times did you have to rewatch this clip? Because I was watching it on the way over here.
I watched it twice.
I watched it a few times because I was like,
yeah. I watched it the first time, and I had my ideas, and then I watched it again to write my scriptures.
Gotcha. Yeah, I had to watch it because I was like just going over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Start from the beginning.
It's not that long.
No. It's not that long.
Sure.
I mean, I think this podcast was 4 hours. He spoke with him for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Can't hear.
Categories
there it is.
It's all.
Go back so that it's louder from the start.
The couple.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
If categories dissolve, especially fundamental ones, the culture is dissolving because the culture is a structure of category.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
So, and in fact, culture is a structure of category that we all share. We see things the same way. Well, that's why we can talk. I mean, not exactly the same way because then we'd have nothing to talk about. But roughly speaking, we have a bedrock of agreement.
Okay, so stop.
That's the Bible, by the way.
So, okay, stop. So I'm going to break down what he says when he talks about category and structure. And he says, and what he's saying, it would sound to most people like it don't make sense because some people would say, I don't believe in the Bible.
Right.
So how is that the bedrock of our agreement? Mm-hmm. Well, whether you believe it or not, it still makes it true.
Right? Right.
Let's read that in Romans 3.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let God be true and every man a liar. So this takes a deeper meaning on that scripture when we apply it to what we're going to bring out today. All right? Go ahead. Read that.
You got it?
Yeah. All right. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 3.
Freedom?
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid.
Right. So though, and this is what he's basically going to get into as we break this down, okay? Though some people may not believe the scriptures, okay, it's still the bedrock of our agreement. So meaning, unwittingly, mm-hmm. your whole philosophies and whatever was driven by this one book
right.
and every other book and every other thing that was built upon it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you also read in, is it Colossians 3 and 8?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, sure. But just hold that for me. Finish this in Romans, okay? Get that.
God forbid. Yay. Let God be true, but every man a liar.
So their unbelief doesn't mean, just because they can't acknowledge or they say, I might not believe in the Bible or I believe in the Quran or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
right? You'll have people say, oh, the Quran mentions the Israelites. Of course it does, because when you understand, right, and by the end of this segment, when we get all the way to the perception part, when you understand how the whole perception, all right, how the Bible builds the world's perception.
Right.
All right? Then you'll understand what he's saying when he says there is a foundational agreement. There's a structure to the way we deal with each other.
Right.
But then he also says, not that we agree on everything, because then it'd be boring. You have nothing to talk about.
Right.
Right. But going back to that whole fundamental, and when I read Colossians 3 and 8 now, I'll explain what I mean by that. So we just read in Romans how whether they believe it or not, whether they understand it or not, all right, God is true and every man a liar, right? It doesn't make their unbelief doesn't make the word of God of none effect.
That's right.
Right? I always say, I remember, I think it was the second Matrix, or maybe it was the third one. It wasn't the first one where Neo is in, Morpheus is in Zion. And one of the members on the board is telling him how he doesn't believe in the one. Mm. All right. And he says something to the effect of your belief is not required for me to believe what I believe.
Right.
Right. So he's kind of saying the same thing. Like, just because you don't believe doesn't mean that my belief is of none effect.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it's still not true.
Right.
You may not believe in Neo, but Neo is Neo, and Neo's going to do what he's going to do.
Right.
Right. Which, again, even that whole thing is the embodiment of the Christ figure.
That's right.
Right. The Messiah figure.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about the Gilgamesh epics and, you know, all the different similarities of the, you know, what they deem the virgin birth, but that's just their misunderstanding,
right,
what the scriptures were saying. But, you know, and that you had this child that was a savior, and then they'll try to say the Bible copied those things because those are older than when the Bible was printed together as a book.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible was a collection of scrolls, as we'll read in the Zondervans, that I think they say took, you know, over 1,400, 2,000 years to collect into one book.
Right.
When you look at historically how these things were written.
Right.
You have to realize that some of the prophets were not working with the whole vision in a word like this that we have.
Right.
They were only – so, right, so when you look at, for example, I'll say Isaiah. Isaiah only had up to his time.
Right.
When you look at Jeremiah, he only had the Bible up to his time.
That's heavy in itself, the gift that we have in these times.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's heavy.
So this is like a – you remember like those choose-your-own-adventure games? and they tried to do it in book form years ago. I'm aging myself a little bit.
You can choose the course.
Right, and then it would say jump to this page instead.
Right.
If you make this decision, jump to this page.
Yep.
If you make this decision, jump to that page. The Bible for them was kind of like that at that time because as they were living it, it was being set up to be scribed and written and preserved.
Mm.
So same thing in Christ's time. He only had the Old Testament.
Right.
He didn't have Paul's letters.
Right.
He didn't have the Acts of the Apostles. He didn't even have, as he was speaking in that moment, it was being chronicled.
Right.
So the prophets at different points in time only had a set dispensation of these letters and their scrolls. I say all that to say, as people come back and try to argue with you that the Bible was not the first, let's get Genesis 1 and 1. We'll come back to Colossians 3, and that's, we'll talk about it.
That's heavy, too, because that's the importance behind when prophecy becomes history. That's
right.
Genesis 1 and 1?
Yep. And then we'll go back to Colossians so I can finish my point with Romans 3. Go ahead.
The book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
In the beginning. See, if you can wrap your head around that as people and everything were living it, it was being chronicled.
Mm.
It was being preserved to be written, right? We'll read that later in 2 Peter about how it was delivered to men.
Mm-hmm. Holy men.
So holy men. A record was being made of these events from the beginning.
Mm.
And like I said, this Edomite, he's not going to be able to touch this to that extreme, right? Because it's not given to him. That's not what's given to him. But he's touching on something here. And at least it sparked something in me
to bring it up,
to say, hey, man, maybe we should talk about this a little bit. This is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is really interesting for me to try to talk about this. So read that again, Genesis.
The book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God.
In the beginning. Mm. That should be the end of it. What book starts like that?
None.
That's heavy.
What any of those other books that they say were written first start that way?
None.
That can tell you what it was like in the beginning before there was anything?
None.
There's nothing.
And you know what? That's true.
That was a well-timed side effect.
There's no factual, structured book, video, what have you, of evolution.
Mm-mm.
And they try to do it with at school, but even that It's always twisted. It's
a bunch of ideas that a few guys decided and made a consensus on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, just like when Deacon Athan was going over the Council of Nicaea and all those different things, mm-hmm. some people got together and they said, yeah, we're going to agree on this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what all those theories of evolution and everything else is when it's here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's spiritually discerned, they can't just read it and say, damn, this is what was done. They make it a fairy tale mm-hmm. and say, oh, you believe in creation? Like if it's some joke, like it's hocus pocus.
Because they can only look at it from a logical perspective.
Right.
There is no spiritual connection to it.
No, it isn't. It isn't. But in their spirit, again, this whole agreement that he talks about, this basis that we have
mm-hmm.
because of this culture and this structure, which we're going to get into those definitions in a moment, it's still based on that. Because notice how everybody puts the power on the emphasis of words. And this is what I mean. They'll say the Bible is hocus pocus when you talk about the creation because
mm-hmm.
of their lack of spiritual discernment that's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll make movies about magic where it's based on them reciting an incantation in order for their magic to take effect.
Because they believe in that witchcraft.
They believe in the power of words.
Right, right.
And so they're taking what's good and trying to call it evil, and they'll say it's witchcraft.
Mm.
Remember, rebellion is witchcraft. Going against the Most High is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Damn. So what really makes witchcraft, as far as doing spells and worshiping all that stuff, is that it's idolatry.
Right.
Right? It's not the way it's presented to us as the hocus pocus, and that's what makes it evil.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Christ speak things and people were healed?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be deemed magic?
And
to people who wouldn't understand.
Yeah,
right.
Understand it, yeah.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I don't want to lose the point. Their emphasis is that they understand the impact and the power of words.
Right, right.
And that didn't come to them until the Bible and the collection of books that were in the Bible were put into one book.
Mm.
That's when
you see that in the book of Eli when he says if it comes from there, they'll, right? And no matter all those other books that he had and that he was looking for.
He needed that one.
He needed this one.
Right.
Because it's the foundation of, they understand it. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's ubiquitous, meaning it's present all over the world, whether they realize it or not, whether they have a basis in the Bible or not.
Mm.
But what they don't know is that they can't make those connections back to that spiritual piece of what it is. That's the profoundness of the word. I'm going to show you that later when we speak about cogitations. All right, let's get Colossians 3 and 8. I guess I might not get it now that I'm thinking about it. I might not get to the other topic that I haven't been able to
fine,
do.
That's fine,
dude. Right?
I ain't mad.
Hey, we eating right now.
Right. And I'm trying. I have to use these words to kind of say some of this stuff. And I know sometimes it's like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to the scriptures, it'll begin to make sense. All right. It'll begin to make sense.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, I guess there's somebody on the classroom side. Yeah, I mean, if you just ignore the scoffers, unfortunately, we don't have a moderator right now. I sincerely apologize to the viewers that we don't. I don't have a blockanda. All right. Oh, did somebody jump in? He says he blocked them. Well, no, individually maybe. Yeah, if you're annoyed by somebody that's scoffing, I guess you have the ability to block them.
I did that. I put that he's harassing me.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's one way to do it.
Oh, that's one way to do it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just ignore it, and you know they'll go away. It's all right. There's more of you than him anyway. So as you put positive things in the stream, it'll drown out what he's saying. Anyway, so we read Romans 3. Right, let me go back to Romans 3. Read that again.
One sec.
Let's go back to Romans 3.
The book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Right. So he says, even though we don't really agree, he goes, because of the culture and structure that the Bible has made,
mm-hmm.
that culture is based on the Bible. All right. And we're going to read that. I didn't write it down. I want that in Genesis with Babylon, with the Tower of Babel.
Yes, sir.
All right. When culture and structure comes from the Bible, there's a basis of agreement, right? So he says, what if some did not believe? Come on.
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Their unbelief doesn't make the faith of God with none effect. And the faith of God has so many levels to it.
Right.
And the faith of God is that you have to realize that even though he made a book just for us, he did make all creation. So do you not think that the foundation of his word,
mm-hmm.
because he spoke everything into existence,
mm-hmm.
the power of that word. This is where they get magic and sorcerer movies from, the power in words.
Yeah.
It makes them feel like they're God. It's godlike behavior because that's where those spells, when they showed it on television and movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're trying to emulate. They see themselves as God. They're trying to mimic God because God spoke and things happen. So that's where that whole basis of magic comes from. So there's power in words, all right? And even though they may not believe it and they don't believe the Bible and they say there is no God or whatever it is, something in them, right? And again, going back to the Matrix, right? The programs did what they needed to do without ever really questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Something in them, their programming, the way God programmed them with his word, all right, has them rolling in that capacity, all right? Where everything is built off the scripture. They'll tell you, no, that was my idea, but then why does it sound like this?
Right.
Remember, like in Job, where it says he delivers the instructions in their sleep.
And, right. Seals, yeah.
And he seals it.
Yeah.
Right? So we were talking about with the doomsday thing and how, you know, they think they're like, damn, I'm having fantastical dreams about building rocket ships and bombs, and I'm wondering where that's coming from. Right? Hey, you see that in the movie The Eternals.
Yeah.
And who gave them the idea for the bomb? It was the Black Eternal. Who they made gay, which is real messed up.
Bruh.
All right? Had so to be
Cap,
the black one.
You finally watched it, Cap?
Well, it took me two nights, but yeah, I finally watched it.
Finally.
Because I've been falling asleep.
I've been telling you, man. That movie is cool.
So his gift as the Eternal was to help them with technology, right? So there's different scenes where it shows he created the steam engine, and she said, no, you can't give that to them yet.
Yeah, that was like back then in the time of
right.
And then
they did the bomb, and there's a scene where you see him crying, and he's like, damn, they're not worth saving. Look at the destruction that they did. You know, that's the whole Christian theme of save everybody and all this destruction is not necessary, whatever. But the point is that he was the one with technology, so he would basically create these things out of his abundance of knowledge,
right.
All right,
mm-hmm.
and give it to people to help them so-called evolve or advance.
Mm.
That's the way.
So I just use that example to say, again, they put that in the movie when God will seal instructions,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
then you wake up and you say, damn, let me make a nuclear bomb. Let me make the waster. I should have brought that out last week, but I don't think I finished watching it until after the show, so...
Wake up, and I got an idea.
Right,
Wonder Woman. That happens in the Wonder Woman 2. He's like a god. He gives that scientist what to do, what not to do.
Uh-huh.
And he appears behind her. She can't see him. It's just like he's like a ghost, but he's speaking to her.
Right.
This right. with that.
It's all the Most High, and whether he uses an angel, whether he uses Satan. Everybody see with the instructions so that he can further his thing. So that's what I mean when I say the faith of God is not without effect. The faith of God goes very deep.
Right.
It goes into his whole plan and what he's created and what he's pulled out, right? Mm. Yeah. So, right, so someone said he got his knowledge from the devil, but where did the devil get his knowledge from?
Instruction.
Right?
Yeah.
Where is that where it says in Deuteronomy, where it says, I create the light and the darkness, right? Because, we gotta fix that thought in our minds. Right, we got to fix that thought in our minds. We can't just say we got it from the devil because you might have some people that'll think about the pointy-headed thing, and then that means the devil's on the same level as God.
Mm-hmm.
God's just not going to let the devil have free reign.
No.
You read that in Job where he's like, you know, where were you? We brought that out on the show before, right? But let's read that where he says, I kill and I make alive.
I haven't got to this one in a while.
Oh, gosh. Was it Deuteronomy 32?
I got it.
32,
the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. Yeah. See now that I am he.
Meaning I am the one that's in charge of all of this. Come on.
And there is no God with me.
Right. So we can't just drop and say, oh, Satan did that and God did that without the understanding behind that. Who does Satan report to?
Right.
Who does the devil report to? Because if you say it's solely the devil,
mm-hmm.
right, even though he has his instructions, right?
Right.
All of it is comes from God.
And you're trying to take the power away from God.
Right. So that's why he says there's no God with me. There's nobody else that has that level of authority.
Right.
There's nobody else that has that level of authority to say do this and don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Come on, read.
See now that I am he, and there is no God with me.
There is nobody else with him that can do those type of things. Even Christ is following God's instructions. He tells you when he was walking the earth,
mm-hmm.
I'm here to do the will of the Father.
Right.
I'm about my Father's business.
Right.
I can of my own self do nothing.
Bring it out.
He says that in, what is it, John? He says, John. I can of my own self do nothing.
Yes, sir.
He said, there's none good but one, which
right.
is God.
So letting you know that, so... you know, that throws out the whole thing too of that Trinity, whole Trinity and
right,
stuff
right,
too, right?
Smashed.
So he's still with it. So he's saying, "There's no God with me. There's nobody with me that's going to give those instructions and make those decisions mm-hmm. because then that makes them gods as well." Come on.
I kill and I make alive.
He kills and he makes alive. Come on.
I wound and I heal.
He wounds and he heals.
Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Right. Neither is there any that can deliver out of his hand. So he's in charge of all of that stuff. Is that it on that?
That's it.
Okay. So go back to Romans.
The book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Right. So it don't matter. It don't matter that their unbelief. It doesn't make the faith of God of none effect. God's master plan and what he's ordained and what he's laid out is going to happen. Come on.
Let God be true, but every man a liar.
Let God be true, but every man a liar. Right? So going back to what this guy was saying, get Colossians 3 and 8. He says the Bible is the basis for all this cultural stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? And he says, and it's also the basis for society structure.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and this is why we're all in agreement. But you would say, no, we're not. Well, what he's really saying is that everybody is following the path that God has laid out for them.
The Lord's
right?
will.
Right?
Right.
Right. So like when it says the Holy Spirit, Christ and the Most High, mm-hmm. or these three agree as one,
right.
they don't mean that there's a Trinity. It just means that they all understand the faith of God. Right. And what the plan is.
Right.
So they're all in agreement that they're going to play their parts as instructed by the Father, as the God. Right. Mm. Go ahead. Read this.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Why do you have to beware? Because it's not after this. It's not because anything that they bring out is a part and parcel of this whole. Come on.
Through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men.
After the tradition of men. It's philosophy. It's vain deceit. Read on. But watch this.
After the rudiments of the world.
The rudiments mean it's a piece. It's a part. It's not the whole.
Mm.
So they'll take some elements of this Bible and they'll try to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
They'll corrupt it. They'll twist it. They'll pervert it.
Yeah, Mormonism.
To tell their stories.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah. One of the biggest ones is that Christ is a white man.
Right. Right.
You read that in 1 Maccabees 3, how they 348, how they tried to put their images in the book of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying when it says rudiments, if you drill down and you get that definition and you drill down in rudiments, it means it's a piece, it's a part, but not the whole.
I got a little letter next to mine that says
of the Bible, because everything that came after the Bible was based on the Bible.
Right.
But if you have this whole, why would you need something else?
Mm. Right.
So that's why they take elements from the Bible. They take rudiments from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make these movies and they'll do these things and they drop these little hints in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll write these books and they'll come up with their sciences and their theories and all this other stuff.
Right.
Well, you think math is random?
No, math.
It's definitely not. If you're a mathematician, you know it's not.
It's lined up.
Right.
Too precise.
Right. Everybody talks about numbers and the precision in that.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there's order behind that. Even that is something that comes from the Most High God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we think that those things are man-made, but it's not.
Right.
It's just that they've corrupted it. It's elements. It's rudiments. So let me get the definition because he spoke about category, right?
Can I get a script?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, Hebrews 11 real quick. Because we're talking about the faith of God with none effect. And Captain's bringing out something heavy about this is going into the creation of the world, right? Get a Hebrews 11 and start at verse 1. Actually, yeah, start at verse 1.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for.
So we were talking about how the faith of God, shall their unbelief make the faith of God in effect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Read.
The evidence of things not seen.
Right. So like we were talking about, some of the prophets didn't have the full Bible. But over time, because they hope for these things, now we have that evidence now to read. Verse 3.
Verse 3. Through faith. We understand.
Through faith, we, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, the Israelites, that understand who they are. Through faith, we understand. Read.
We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
The worlds were framed by the word of God. That's plural. So you got the world of Israel, but also the world that the heathen live in as well. It's all still framed by the word of God. Read.
So that things which are seen
were not made of things which do appear.
And that's that spiritual side which they cannot comprehend nor understand.
That's right.
Hey, and that's heavy, that part where we say the worlds were framed, because right. that's going to go into exactly what this psychologist just said and these words that we brought out.
Hmm.
So he said category, right? So let's get the definitions, and then I want to run the clip back a little bit to when he says it, right? So category, it says, zoom it in one. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. A class or division of people or things regarded as having particular shared characteristics. So he was talking about, he was like, the Bible gives us category.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this stuff is dog whistle stuff, by the way. He's talking to some elites when he says this stuff. He's putting things out there for things that will fly over people's heads,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to read that when we read, I think it's Deuteronomy 32 and 8, where he talks about how,
and that's the next one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that goes with what you just said in Hebrews when he says it was framed.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to have you read that again after we do these definitions.
Yes, sir.
And before we watch it. All right. So he says it's a category, is a class or division of people, right? Or things, right? So like, you know, you'll go to the supermarket, right? And all the cookies are, right? So that could be like a division of all the stuff in one place, right?
Right.
All the cookies are in one place.
Right.
All the beer is in one place. All the, or you can even break that down even more. Or if you go to the liquor aisle, right? The vodka's all in one place mm-hmm. all together, right?
Wine.
The wine is all in, the reds are all together. The whites are all together. The blush are all together, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those different things, right? Supermarket is a great visual of the division of things. It's categorized,
category.
Right? Right, it's a category. But he's talking about people. The definition says people.
Mm.
So it says a class or division of people or things regarded as having particular shared characteristics.
Mm.
So God always set those things up that way. What, and for us, for the Israelites, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, indigenous, those scattered according to Isaiah, all right, he made us peculiar. He classified us as different from the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
That they're so eager to try to be like each other.
Right.
Damn. Their whole drive is to be like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that should not be with us, because he made us peculiar, meaning separate, strange. He classified us. He categorized us different.
Mm.
All right? Our shared characteristics is what? Our heritage.
Right.
These Bible, these laws, statutes, and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what separates us. So some of the synonyms that he uses, it talks about status. It says order, rank, grading, all right?
Mm.
Meaning he's ranked things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ranked Israel at his firstborn.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
And he's ranked the heathen, starting with Edom, as nothing, as a drop in the bucket. So it's categorized.
Right.
What were you going
to
say?
No, I'm picturing it in my mind right now. If you think about it right now, they always talk about we teach division, right?
Uh-huh.
But in order for us to categorize us as a people for these things to happen, that means things have to be divided. God,
here's the thing. If the Bible, and it is, I say if because for those who might not be persuaded yet.
Right.
If the Bible, and hopefully by the end of this lesson, I can articulate it well enough for people to understand, all right? If the Bible is the basis for all of the books
mm-hmm.
and the foundation for the whole perceptions that we have in the earth, when I get to that part at the end, it should bring it all together. Then if we teach divisions, they teach divisions.
Yeah.
If we teach hate, then they're teaching hate.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's all based on this.
Mm.
If that's what they want to call it.
Right.
They're teaching the same thing. It's just a perversion of it.
Mm.
So and what they're really hating is God.
Right, right.
What they're really hating is Christ.
Because of the real order that's already.
Because the real order that's established.
So
and
you
that's where
only get a rudiment.
Yes.
I was about to say that.
Yes.
They get rudiments of the Bible.
Right.
So they get little piece. Well, God said this, so I'm going to do this, but my way. I'm going to mix it up.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. So he talks about categories as orders and ranks. Let's get structure, the definition of structure. No, I don't want that one. Yes, that's the one I wanted. Okay, structure. So the first meaning says the way that something is built, arranged, or organized, but it's the second one I want us to cue in on. The way that a group of people are organized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. You listen to this guy, and you'll be like, this guy sounds crazy, and his words are all over the place. But when you start to... I was thinking of scriptures off the back when I heard it.
Okay.
Right? And he says, it's the way that a good... So he spoke about categories, which we know is the division of people.
Right.
The synonyms of that are order, rank, grading,
mm-hmm.
and then a structure. And he says, it's the way that a group of people are organized. He gives some examples. A solid family structure.
Mm.
The social structure of a college campus. Changes to the company's power structure. Mm. All right? So a lot of times we hear these words and we're thinking of... You know, maybe an edifice, right? Like a building, mm-hmm. a structure, right? Things like that. Mm-hmm. But it quite literally means it's talking about people.
Right. We right? look at it as the noun and not adjective.
Right, right. So it's quite literally speaking about the people. So read Deuteronomy, read Hebrews again, what you were reading about. He framed it, and then I want Deuteronomy 32, 8, and 9.
The book of, I got it. Go to Deuteronomy. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 3.
Freedom!
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Right, so that frame, that's the part that I want.
Mm-hmm.
With the word. A lot of times we think the word and we're just thinking the spiritual word. But this guy's talking about the foundation of all words.
Right.
That we have today in books, started with the scriptures.
Mm.
It would not have existed for all mankind if it was not for the Most High allowing that to be given to men.
Mm.
All right. So it says the way it was framed. Go back to the other definition of category. All right. And look at how it says division. All right. I want you to keep that up there. Okay. It says division when it deals with category. So in Hebrews, it talks about the way that the world was framed by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now go to Deuteronomy 32 and read verse 8.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance.
There's that word. Mm. Division is a synonym for category.
Mm.
When the Most High categorized the nations, when he framed it, when he laid out how he wanted everything to be by his word.
Mm-hmm.
So he categorized it. He says, when the Most High divided, come on, read it again.
When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
And that's not just the borders of the land. That goes into the inheritance.
Hmm.
What prophecies are for us, who the kingdom of heaven is for, and what their portion is in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because when I'm speaking wisely, I'll say all nations will be in the kingdom. Mm. Esau just for a dispensation of time.
Right.
The rebellious of the other nations
mm-hmm.
For a dispensation of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest will be in subjection, and they'll be categorized. That God's structure, that framing that he intended from the beginning will be set up. Right. That's what we're moving towards.
Mm-hmm.
That's what should be established.
It says right there, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So even in these last days, as prophecy continues to fulfill, the 144,000, he set the bounds of the rest
yes.
of the nation
yes.
in accordance to
yes. that. Yes, because that's that number that we're waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's that set number that we're waiting for. So read it from the top again.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Come on.
For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. All right. So he set this up. He framed it. He divided. He categorized. And he set structure to how things should be by his word. Now let's run it back on the video to when he says that part. Come on. Could you run it back a little?
So we see things the same way. Well, that's why we can talk. I mean, not exactly the same way, because then we'd have nothing to talk about. But
no,
roughly speaking, we have a bedrock of agreement.
No, go back. There's more.
That's the Bible, by the way.
Go back.
The same way, because then we'd have nothing
no,
to talk
about. No, you started
at
21. Go back.
Yeah, you started at 31. Go back to 21. That should be enough.
So we see things the same way.
No, go back.
That's
further.
Why we can talk. I mean, not exactly. Just
further. Go to like 15. Okay. So let me see.
That culture is a culture.
A little further back. A couple more seconds.
Structure of.
There we go.
The culture is a structure of category.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Right. So, and in fact,
so stop, stop. So now that we went through that and we understand the category, he says culture is a structure of category, right? So let me get, is it Deuteronomy 4?
What are you looking for?
What, your wisdom?
No, 4 and, well, we're going to start with 15 first, and then we'll go to verse 4, but start with 4:15.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 15.
Right, so he says culture is a structure of category, mm-hmm. right? So the culture that we have, and then like I said, give me the one with the Tower of Babel. I'll let you know exactly which one I want, okay? Culture is a structure of is a structure of category, right? And we went over category, and we understand that it's all dealing with the ranks, divisions. How remember, I give the supermarket example, mm-hmm. all right? So read this. This is some of the culture that he gave to the other nations. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire.
Right, so when the Lord spoke unto Moses, that's the burning bush, he says, you didn't see a similitude. I didn't choose to come down as an angel, as a Buddha,
right.
as an elephant, as a camel, as a calf.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, read.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves.
Because you would corrupt yourselves. Because that's not for us. Because what's corrupting about it? Because it was not for us.
Right.
He had a structure. He had a category.
Mm-hmm.
He had a culture that he said that he was going to set up for us, that the Bible calls a heritage.
Yes.
Come on.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female.
We're going to get to the point as we read on why that's so significant. Come on.
The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should it be driven to worship
them. That's the problem with images, all right?
Right,
is when you worship them. He's not saying that you can't have those things. I think you read that, is it in Hosea, where it talks about we'll be without an image, without an ephod,
yes,
right, without a king?
Yes,
meaning we had images. We just referenced 1 Maccabees 3:48.
Yes,
they sought to paint their images in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not images that are the problem. It's when you are driven to worship them. Why? Read on.
And serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
He made that for the other nations. He categorized that. He structured that.
Mm.
That's their culture, to deal with those idols, to deal with that stuff, to worship graven images. All right? We're breaking down that whole piece that he's saying here. So like I said, I'm going to try to maybe demystify or unconfound what he's saying.
Right.
But this is why you got to be able to try to look at it scripturally, because remember, his topic, what he's saying, is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So you would listen to what he's saying, like, boy, this guy's babbling on nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, he's touching on something here.
Right.
Just sounds like nonsense because it's not for him.
Right.
He can't grasp it
can't
to the extent that it needs to be. He can't
right.
articulate it.
Right.
That's the most important part, because it's one thing to be able, like, true understanding is that you're able to explain what you understand.
Right.
Mm. I know that from, for example, I teach Krav Maga, right?
Mm-hmm.
I became better at Krav Maga when I started to teach it versus me learning it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds strange, but anybody who's taught anything after learning it for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm talking about. You understand where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different. There's something powerful when you have to try to articulate it to someone else.
Right, because now you're having to replicate what you take it from being in your mind to now you're manifesting it through other people.
And that's it. It's that manifestation.
Right.
Right, making it real for other people.
Right.
Mm. And that's where the real power lies in what we do,
mm-hmm.
and what we're called to do, to make it plain upon tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
To show it to our people. There's another scripture I think we're going to read later where it talks about you know, these things will be hid for a time for when people will be able to explain it to people.
Mm-hmm.
You read that in Acts 8 with Philip. Do you understand what you read? How can I, lest the man show me?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an exchange. There's a process that has to happen there. And that's what we're driven to do. We're driven to take our understanding, right? Well, where's the scripture which talks about our learning is not for ourselves only, but for all those?
Sirach 33.
Get that. Yes, get that real quick. Get that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 33 and verse 17. Consider that I labored not for myself only, but for all them that seek learning.
Right. So it's not just for us to learn.
Mm.
And if we learn something, it's our reasonable service as unprofitable servants to go ahead and articulate that to others.
To edify.
To edify. That's real understanding.
To restore a nation.
Right.
That's our job.
And in doing that, right? Mm. And in doing that, you lead to the restoration of a nation.
Mm.
So we don't labor for ourselves only. I mean, you know, it's not just for us to learn it and for our own repentance. Why do you think it says in Psalms 111 and 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments? Because in living it and in doing it, now you're able to impart it and articulate it to others.
Right.
And if you can't do that, then you don't really understand it.
That's heavy.
Then you don't really understand it. You have a piece of it.
Right.
You have to be able to translate that, to be able to give that to somebody else.
Right.
All right.
And
what are you going to say?
Charity.
Why are you smirking there?
No, it's because that saying that you guys always give us, and Officer Nehemiah always says it to me. He says, who learns more, the student or the teacher? Mm-hmm. Or the teacher? And then this, what we're going over, takes that saying to another level. I'm like, dang, that is true. What you're saying about it, you really don't understand it or until you teach it.
I'm
just like.
Was it Paul said, it's knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth?
Uh-huh.
Because you can have that knowledge, but the purpose of having the knowledge is to edify.
Mm-hmm. What's the other one that Bishop Kanai always quotes? A wisdom raineth down skill.
Right. That's heavy.
Right.
That's heavy.
And that goes with Timothy's where it says, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. So that's the skill that you get from wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom comes from application.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've applied it, then you're able to impart it. Until then, it's not full understanding. Do I have you holding any scriptures?
We're at Deuteronomy 4, and then we went
Genesis.
Here.
Oh, okay. So now I want to give the other part. So we just read the idolatry in Deuteronomy 4, right?
Yes, sir.
That's for the other nations. And it used the word, let's read that in verse 19 again. Read 4:19, Deuteronomy 4:19.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven. And when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations.
There's that word divide again, which goes into category. And category, through structure, creates the cultures that we have.
Mm.
So he says, again, so this goes into, they're doing God's will without even knowing it.
Right.
They're doing God's will without even knowing it. For them, the will he has for them.
Right.
Because his will for us is the commandments.
Right.
Right? And I'm going to show you that now as we read Deuteronomy 4 and start at verse 4.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day.
So how do you cleave to God? Come on.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess.
So you know how some people sometimes say, oh, that was for then, that's not for now?
Mm-hmm.
He said, those statutes and judgments is for wherever we go.
Mm.
Now, he was quite literally talking about them going in and taking over Canaan,
mm-hmm.
but he says, wherever you go. It's also for the future as well. Come on, read.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation.
That's what we are supposed to do. That's the culture that he gave us. That's what he imparted unto us. So in Deuteronomy 4, you see two examples. You see the categorization. You see the structure, which leads to their cultures, what is now called culture,
mm-hmm.
all right, of what the heathen's culture is and what our culture should
right.
be. So before we started repenting,
mm-hmm.
we weren't keeping any of our culture.
At all.
No,
nothing.
And let me tell you something. It's so perverse in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's so upside down that even as we keep this in some way, we still got to keep their culture. Because are all the stores closed on Sabbath?
No.
Nope.
Is there no buying and selling across the world on the Sabbath?
No.
No. Those laws aren't kept everywhere by everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Dang.
So we're still subject to it.
Still got the rudiments.
You still have that going on there. Read this again. Keep therefore and do them.
Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations.
There's no other wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. That's why they laugh at us when we try to break down their stuff to them.
Mm.
It's a mockery when we're dealing with Islam with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was created by a heathen man, a white man.
For them.
For them.
For them.
Yeah.
Mm. Buddhism, all this other stuff. Let me just say, even atheism is a religion.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because they're all in agreement that there is no higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold to it and defend it the same way.
And have the theories behind it of why not.
Politics is a religion because they all unite under those principles that they believe in.
Right.
That's how you become a Republican. That's how you become a Democrat, because you align your views with a group of people that hold to them so dearly.
You have a belief.
There's a belief system, a belief structure.
Yeah.
Right? So it says, keep therefore and do these laws, statutes, and commandments, because this is our wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. This is the division. This is the framing by his word that he gave unto us. Come on.
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
And you got to understand that this is not for today, because they don't hear that and say we're wise and understanding people.
At all.
No, we're under Deuteronomy 28 and 37 now, mm-hmm. where we're a proverb and a byword in all nations whither the Lord will lead us.
Mm-hmm.
That means all these other nations have us in this. So this is for that day, for that time. But he says, you keep therefore and do them. We read in the verse up, whither the Lord shall lead you.
Right.
Wherever he leads you, that's where you're going to keep those law, statutes, and commandments there.
You know,
that's that rehearsing the righteous acts, right?
You know what's heavy about what you just said? Wherever he leaves us, because we're supposed to be that example, right?
Because
there's in the sight of the nations, they're supposed to hear these things.
Yep.
It's that Matthew 5, that city set on a hill.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we were designed to be.
Yes, exactly. That's that light. That's that city. I think I brought that out when I was doing I did the manifestation of the spirit class.
Yes, sir.
And I was saying that city set on a hill is not just that you see it, but within that city, there's laws, there's rules, there's stress. That's what makes it a city.
Right, right.
And city's really just another way to say a nation,
mm-hmm.
right? That's building that nation back together. And that's or culture, right?
Culture,
and that's what it's speaking about. All right, let's go back. Let's play this from there again, and then we'll let it run a little bit. All right.
You started from the beginning. Just start it right there. That's fine.
Just do it.
Because the culture is a structure of category.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
So, and in fact, culture is a culture is a structure of category that we all share. So we see things the same way. Well, that's why we can talk. I mean, not exactly the same way, because then we'd have nothing to talk about.
See, that's what he means. That's at those divisions. It's not exactly the same way,
right.
but it's roughly the same way. For us, we see and we understand it.
Right.
For them, it's not for them to grasp. I'm going to show you that later. Go ahead.
That's what you were wondering in Genesis about. We would all have nothing to talk about.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I wanted Babel.
Babel.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Genesis. Let's get me that. I wanted Babel in Genesis. That's right.
Got it.
Specifically?
Let me see where I want to start. Start at 11 and verse 1, but hold on. I'm going to want to jump. I don't want to go too much into this. I didn't have it written down. 1 and then go to 6.
The book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
Right. And guess what? Again, that's that. You know how, like in literary, they talk about foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the Most High created everything with the intended order, right? Remember,
right.
It says, "Is it in Ezra where it talks about it? They were wide and sure, and man was made to be immortal,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But then sin came into the earth, and we lost that immortality.
Yes, sir.
That's why it was of one language and one speech. Okay, but that doesn't mean that he didn't categorize us, because he put Adam. We're going to read that when we read 2 Ezra 6,
mm-hmm.
53, I think it is. We talked about, and the other people also came of Adam,
yes,
right?
Sir.
That wasn't for them. So even in this one language and one speech, that doesn't mean we were all the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of goes into what he's saying about that agreement. But it's what he's really saying when he says that agreement, but it's not agreement,
mm-hmm.
is going back to what I said, that everybody's following their instructions,
right?
They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's playing out the way it's supposed to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Esau was made for was the vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction,
mm-hmm.
and you have the vessel for honor, which is Israel. Right. So he says it was one language and of one speech. Jump to verse six.
And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain them which they have imagined to do."
Right. That's so. Again, they says that they're all at one language. He says, so now they're all basically trying to overthrow me,
mm-hmm.
right? which is still their intent to this day, just in different ways. You're going to say something, you got a smirk on your face.
I was thinking of, because when you read that, that makes you think about, you said that they were all one language at this point, but there was some that made them different, right?
Yep.
It was like Genesis 6, I think, where the sons of men started to go in and lay with the women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that
Genesis 5?
Like right there with Noah.
No, is it 6? No, it is 6. You're right.
It's like right there.
Uh-huh.
And then they started to mingle with the people.
Right.
And then from that point, that's how we learned their customs. So the language was not the only thing in common, but now we started doing their customs.
That's what it was going to lead to.
Right.
And he had that, and he had that division. So that's why I say, just because it was one language and one speech,
right,
that basically fostered more of that doing the divisions that were for them.
Right.
Right, what was structured for them versus what was for us.
Yep.
Okay, like we just read in Deuteronomy 4. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 7. Go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
So, again, this was a foreknown thing.
Mm.
This was set up. This wasn't really something where... Remember how we read that he divided them by the number of the people of Israel. That happened in the beginning, that he had that plan in his head,
right,
that he laid that out. This was just the enacting of that portion of it. So it's kind of like I have a sales plan,
mm-hmm,
right? And in this quarter, we're going to focus on selling this many widgets.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this quarter, we're going to implement this aspect of the plan so that we can get to this next number that we need,
right,
and so on and so forth. That's what's happening here. It's not that he just decided all of a sudden. You don't think he foresaw that they were going to do this in Babel?
No, in the end, from the beginning.
Right.
And once they started, he left it alone. He didn't come in and do anything until we started to mingle with him.
Right.
Once he saw that it got too intermingled, then
he said, this is part of the plan.
Right.
Let me do this.
Right.
This is this part of the plan. Let me do that now.
Right.
Right.
Verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. So it's not that he acted right there. He's like, okay.
He said, oh, this is the part where I'm going to do this now.
They're on this phase now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, read on. We're going to go to verse 8.
Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
Right? So it says he scattered them. Again, that's just dividing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's grading them. That's ranking them. Right? Read on. Verse 9.
Verse 9. Therefore, the name of it called Babel, because...
Which means confusion. It's not confusion for him. He confused them. This goes into the part where he's saying we're in agreement, but not necessarily.
Right.
Come on.
Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. The Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth.
That's when he framed it. That's when he divided it according to the number of children of Israel. Mm. Right. That's when he enacted it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, there was different parts where he would move it and shift it around.
Right.
All right. So let's go back to this. Go ahead.
Speaking, we have a bedrock of agreement. That's the Bible, by the way.
The bedrock of agreement is the Bible.
So I just walked through the Museum of the Bible in Washington. That was very cool. It's a very cool museum.
So the structure, that's what the Bible
provides.
Yeah, it's
what I figured out. I just figured this out this week.
So that structure is basically God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say even people who say they don't believe...
Joe Rogan's so confused right now.
Yeah. You know he is, bro.
He's like...
You know he's confused as hell.
There's a quiet moment. Silent. He said...
Uh-huh.
So the structure...
Let
me pretend like I know it.
Yeah. Come on, play it.
Oh, funny.
Damn, we're only 49 seconds
cool
in, but we're an hour in on the show.
Damn.
I don't know why I try to do two things. I prepared two topics, basically. Go ahead.
Cool. It was a cool thing to walk through because it's chronological. They have one floor, which is the history of the Bible.
Mm.
But not exactly that. It's really what it is the history of the book. Now,
stop. So what he means is it's not, you're not going to go in there and get the history. So you know how Bishop Kanai is going over history right now?
Right.
It's not that history.
Right.
What he's saying is that it's the history that when we get to the Zondervan of how the Bible went from scrolls and whatever, from what they know.
Right.
And became this one book, a collection of books.
Mm.
All right? That's what he's talking about.
Right.
So go ahead. Play it.
Was the Bible. I mean, literally. Because at one point, there was only one book. Like, as far as our Western culture is concerned, there was one book. And for a while, literally, there was only one book. And that book was the Bible. And then before it was the Bible, it was, it was scrolls and it was writings on papyrus. But we were starting to aggregate written text together. And it went through all sorts of technological transformations. And then it became books that everybody could buy, the book everybody could buy. And the first one of those was the Bible. And then it became all sorts of books that everybody could buy. But all those books, in some sense, emerged out of that underlying book. And that book itself, the Bible isn't a book, it's a library. It's a collection of books.
Mm.
And so what I figured out was, partly because I was talking to my brother-in-law, Jim Keller.
All right, so stop before he gets into that stuff that he says. So he said, he was talking about his collection of scrolls and stuff. Let's pull up the Zondervan pages that I have.
Damn.
Right? He said it's a collection of books.
Damn. Oh, that's crazy.
And no, not King James. You start where it says Bible. I know, I may not have taken the best pictures. That's it right there. Small book. Okay. Zoom it in. Are you able to zoom it in? I want it down at the bottom. There we go. So it says Bible, right? You get a Zondervan's Compact Bible Dictionary. It says the collection of books, right? Recognized and used by the Christian church as the inspired record of God's revelation of himself and of his will to mankind. But the point that I want here is that this is what the guy was saying. He says he went to the Bible Museum and it was the history of the Bible. And he goes, not the history of the Bible, but the history of what we know as the book, the Bible.
Right.
And he says it was the first book. And it's not even really a book. He says, because it was scrolls and papyrus. I'm going to get that part. He says, but it's a collection of books. And he said, it's a library. I'm going to deal with that in a moment. All right. He said, I'm going to deal with that in a moment. So I'm going to read on here. It says, the word Bible is from Biblia or Biblion, diminutive of Biblos, from Biblos, right? Papyrus, right? It's a different term to say papyrus. In ancient times, papyrus was used in making the paper from which books were manufactured. The words Biblion and Biblia are used in the Old Testament and the Apocrypha for the scriptures. And he references the scriptures, right? Those were the untranslated terms.
We're on the next page.
Go to the next page up in the top. And he says, by about the 5th century, the Greek church fathers applied the term Biblia to the whole Christian scriptures. Later, the word passed into the Western church, and although it is really a plural neuter noun, it came to be used in the Latin as a feminine singular. Thus, the books became the common consent, the book. So it's really a collection of books, and it became the book. It says, I'm going to jump down a little. It says the names. The names Old and New Testament have been used since the close of the 2nd century to distinguish the Jewish and Christian scriptures. Testament is used in the New Testament, KJV, to render the Greek word diatheke, Latin testamentum, which is classical usage, meant a will. All right? So, you know how they say the last will and testament
right.
as that term?
Yep.
The New Testament is the testament of Christ,
mm-hmm.
all right, as he walked the earth. It says, but in the LXX and in the NT and the New Testament was used to translate the Hebrew word beruth, a covenant. Strictly, therefore, the Old and New Testament mean Old and New Covenant, the reference being to the covenants God made in his two dispensations. Let me see what else I want out of here before we go back to the video. I don't want the... Oh, let's read that. Let's read languages real quick. I'll read some of that. It says, most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the language spoken by the Israelites in Canaan before the Babylonian captivity, but after the return, giving way to Aramaic, a related dialect generally spoken throughout Southwest Asia, right? So some people try to say Aramaic is like the true tongue too.
Right.
Aramaic and Hebrew are not the same thing, right? They say it's loosely. It's a related dialect, but it's not the same.
Okay.
All right? Kind of like Ebonics and English are... Just like Creole and French are not the same thing, but they're related, right?
Similar.
That's really, they're
yeah.
similar.
Yeah.
The ancient Hebrew text consisted only of the I don't need that. I don't want the constants and divisions. Oh, no, I do want that. The compass and divisions. The Protestant Bible in general use today contains 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And then we have the Apocrypha, because when we get to the King James piece, you'll see what I'm saying. The 39 Old Testament books are the same as those recognized by the Palestinian Jews in New Testament times. In the Hebrew Bible, the books are arranged in three groups, the law, the prophets, the writings. So again, just I'm trying to show you some of the breakdown of this collection of books that he's saying. And it'll lead into some of the other scriptures that I bring out later, right? And why it's relevant, okay? The law compromises the Pentateuch. I don't need that. Let me jump down to where it says text. Although the Bible was written over a period of approximately 1,400 years, and he'll say a little stuff about that in a moment too, and he kind of said that it's a collection of books, it's a library of books, from the time of Moses to the end of the first century A.D., and it's not true. We did have it as scrolls. Mm-hmm. Remember, we didn't have all of it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But from Genesis all the way up to Exodus, all right?
Right.
We had those up until that,
right?
Right. At that time. Remember, Moses came on the scene in Exodus,
mm-hmm.
and he had to basically retell and re-give this after they lost it, after we lost it in Egypt.
Right.
Right? So meaning it's not like it started with Moses. This is where they get that little nuance.
Mm.
That in their minds, that's when it was recorded. But we know that there was, because how did they know what was clean and unclean, for example, in Noah's time?
Right.
Right? When they did the flood. How did they know what was unclean and a clean animal? It wasn't given to us yet.
Right.
When Moses, and it makes perfect sense that it wouldn't be written in Genesis, because the iteration of the Bible that we have today, when you deal with Moses' books, he was about to give them all that law anyway after he gave them the history.
Right.
So what you got to realize is that basically when you read that in the beginning, right, that with the Bible that we have today, that was Moses telling that to the Israelites as they came out of Egypt to remember. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, I'm giving you your history back. I want you to understand something. I'm going all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Scribe this down. In the beginning, there was this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. right? This is what was going on. This is this. This is that. This is the history of Noah. This is the history of Babel.
Right.
This is Cain and Abel. This is all this other stuff. So he talks about clean and unclean animals without going into it at that point because he wasn't just ready yet to give them the law. It's kind of the same way we teach the scriptures.
Gave him identity first.
Identity and then repentance.
The law.
Identity and the laws.
Yes, sir.
Right? So it's the same way. You have to kind of really – I think a lot of times we glaze over because it's just so much.
It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot to take in.
You know what's heavy about what you said, too, is back then they had the scrolls, right?
Yep.
So the Bible wasn't readily available like it is now.
No.
So people, when you read the scriptures, it always says, if you see a man of understanding, get thee to him. Everybody mm-hmm. couldn't just go to a Bible and try to read it.
Damn.
No.
They had to find a man that had the scrolls, that had the ability to teach.
Yes.
Hey, and you know,